I wanted to talk today about detachment. And, you know, to do this kind of technical thing where one little tiny mistake, because I'm using software that's not really ready to do this simultaneous translation, Jazz, in stereo on YouTube through a free broadcaster, meaning I'm not spending $800 for the program to do the professional stuff. It's all, you know, like you take pieces of scotch tape and you put it together and then you put a Band-Aid over here. And you... anyway, detachment was required because if I got like messed up in the head, if I got flustered, if I got confused, I was confused, no doubt, in the beginning. But I was forced by circumstance to stay cool and just keep working step by step by step to fix it. And yes, we fixed it. It took an hour. Really sorry. It took longer than an hour because this drama started before I hit broadcast. So a certain amount of detachment is required. Of course, I require the desire to accomplish this. This is a task. This is an activity. And I have a desire to accomplish it. I have a desire to make it work right. So, because it wasn't, my desire fueled my activity, but because of the stressful nature of the activity, I had a choice to either just go, which is the natural response. It's the natural response. And or to be detached from that response and focus on the task at hand. And because of the work I have been doing for many weeks now, because of, you know, put bread on the table and all that jazz, gluten-free bread, I had to install programs and things to run projectors for presentations and blah, blah, blah. And these were what was responsible for this chaos. So I got rid of all that. Not easy. Hidden things were here and there. So before I was going to do this lecture, I had this topic, detachment. And I had to live, you know, practice what you preach, we say in English. I had to live my lecture topic right before some of your eyes. You know, some of you actually saw me when I wasn't broadcasting. That's scary. That was really scary. So, we are spiritualists. We are people who care about spirituality. We want to connect with Radha and Krishna, Lord Chaitanya's appearance day just recently. We want to be spiritualists. We want to perform spiritual activities. We want to be of service to other people. We want to develop our capacity to connect to the divine energy. We want to feel the divine energy. But life is not exactly facilitating that. Life in general does not facilitate spiritual connection. That's perhaps one of the reasons we call it the material existence. It does not facilitate spiritual connections. It facilitates chaos, struggle, obstacles, anxieties, stresses and tensions, and all kinds of good stuff too. We all know about that. Now, we live in an environment which is not compatible with spiritual activity. It's just the way it is. We can try to live in a spiritual environment together with others who wish to be spiritual. But as we all have experience, similarly, we have problems developing after some time between people, maybe because of lack of money, or maybe because of too much work, or maybe because we are not feeling as good as we should. Maybe we are not happy with the way we are developing. Maybe somebody else is not happy about the way we are developing. In other words, wherever you live, you're going to have some good stuff and some bad stuff. You're going to have some happiness. You're going to have some distress. You're going to have some good things, and you're going to have things which just drive you crazy. That's just the way it is. Now, if you want to really succeed in spiritual life, detachment is very important. Now, we've heard this word before. We are familiar with this word. We know what it means, kind of. But don't make the mistake of thinking that detachment and renunciation are equivalent. They are the same thing. Renunciation is one thing. Detachment is quite another. After all, let's say we renounce. This is no longer mine. But then that means we have thought before, this is mine. So the act of renunciation is based on a falsehood, because nothing is mine. Absolutely nothing is mine. Nirmama, that's a basic spiritual principle. We are not possessors of anything. We are, we are able to use something for a short period of time. For a short period of time, we use something. But then we can't keep it, because it really doesn't belong to us. It's part of our environment. It's part of our existence for a short period of time, not forever. So renunciation has come really to be used in terms of, I was living in some kind of house with a family and all these things, and I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to renounce that and walk away. In that sense, maybe it, as words, as a concept, yes, it makes some sense. But that's not really as relevant in spiritual life as it may seem, because the deeper, more important, more valuable spiritual principle is not renunciation, it's detachment. The detachment that allows one to not be overwhelmed or mixed within or entangled within something external to us. We can even in that detached mood be connected with something for work or for play or for any reason we choose, but not be attached to the specific activity of it or the specific result of it. I'm talking more than just being detached from the results. You have a right to perform your service, but not the results. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking to the mood of detachment. It's something different. It's something deeper. It's a mood. It's an attitude. It's an attitude of feeling that our nature as a spiritual being, our essence, rises above the world around us, and even what we might have to do within it. I'll give you a little example. Let's say you have a surgeon. Let's assume, this may not always be true, but we're going to assume a very good surgeon who really wants to help the patient. And that surgeon who really wants to help sees that there's a tumor, and the surgeon has to cut. So if I were to cut you, you would complain. You would be very upset. It would make blood. It would make everything. It would cause all kinds of screaming because it hurts. The surgeon knows, okay, I'm going to be cutting somebody, maybe even digging around with my fingers to pull something out, maybe even doing more potentially harmful things. But he doesn't think about hurting you. Okay, you have anesthetic. That's part of it. But he's focused, or she's focused. My surgeon here is a he, just because why not? He's focused on the cut, doing it just right. No other consideration. And removing that which is bad, because his purpose, his desire is to help the patient. So when he's in that surgery room, in that operating room, he's detached from the usual considerations because he's focused on his task. And he's doing something he would never think of doing in regular life. He assumes this detachment from the usual considerations. It's the way he has accepted his occupation. Now, as spiritualists, we still have to act. We have no choice. We have to work. We have to take care of ourselves. We have to do laundry. We have to take care of family members. We have to take care of the house. When things break, we have to fix them. To get things that are needed, we have to struggle. Now, you can do this in one of two ways: with anxiety, frustration, attachment, or you can do it in a detached way. But what if the world doesn't cooperate? Here's where the real issue comes. You can be detached from work, sure. If you go to work, you do your job, no big deal, come home, no big deal, do the things you have to do. Everything's going on. But what if the world does not cooperate? What if the world makes things tough? All of my fruits and flowers and tender vegetables were growing very nicely. Everything was going right according to schedule with the seasons. And then, two nights ago, we got a deep freeze. Not heard of. Not supposed to happen in Florida. Not at this time of the year. Maybe one or two other days. In the winter, we expect it. We plan for it. Now, fruits, flowers, just finished. So I went out there this morning, and I'm looking at that. And I'm quite upset. I mean, I did a lot of work to get these fruits and these flowers and everything to be nice. And they were doing great. You know, clearing and planting and cultivating and taking care. It's a big deal, especially when you have a garden as big as mine. So then I thought for a second, can you imagine if your whole If your only source of food is what you're growing in the ground, I can go to a food store down the street. I can get in the car, drive there, buy some stuff, come back. We eat. What if, like in previous times, this is what you ate, what you grew? And I thought about that for a second. I would feel very, very discouraged. I felt that way this morning, but you feel very, very discouraged. And you think, what's the use? That is a very significant statement. It's what gives existentialism birth. What's the use? What's the use is a bit of a scary statement. What's the use? I mean, I'm trying to figure out what this reflection is here. It's driving me crazy. Is it my screen or is it that window over there? Ah, it's the window. Look at that. How do we cheat that? Hang on, be right back. Nope. Detached. I have to accept that there's going to be this insane little light on the bottom of my glasses. Now all of you are going to look at it nonstop. See that? Drives me crazy. Yeah, look at it. Yeah. Go insane. So, this brings us to the most important point. Even this, acceptance. I thought a lot about detachment. I thought a lot about renunciation. I thought about it as being, yes, interesting. Yes, good. Yet, the key to spiritual life is not in detachment. It's a tool, but it's not a key. It's a tool because if you're detached, it helps you to be more aware. Because when you're detached, you can see things from another perspective. You can see things from a new viewpoint, which will help to resolve or help to allow you to move in a new direction or help you to accomplish something in the midst of a chaos. Detachment. My sister was here for a week. And she's very upset with the way the politics in America, you know all about it, you read it all the time. I'm not even going to use the man's name. I don't want to be political here. But she was very upset. Very upset. It was like this political thing all the time. So when you're struggling with this stuff, which is like you don't want it, you don't need it, you want it to go away, it's all terrible, and detachment is useful because it helps you to step away from madness, which is being placed upon us all the time. But around here nowadays, this kind of detachment tough, because wherever you go, it's like, woo, woo. Everybody wants to engage you in this stuff. And if you're saying, I don't really get into politics, they go, why not? You are the problem. You've got to take a side. Join civil war on one side or the other. No thanks. You are the problem. Okay, see ya. This is one problem heading away. So what can I do? You fight and sometimes you get in trouble and you don't want to fight. But make life is crazy nowadays. So what can you do? I got another one for you, which is even better. It's called getting old. You can take all the vitamins you want. You can do exercise. You can do whatever you want to do. You're going to get older and older and older. And you can be detached from that. And try to avoid it and do various things and continue. And maybe somewhere in there it's a little agitation in the back, but you are somewhat detached. But the key is acceptance. Acceptance. Not fighting against. Not embracing. Attachment. Aversion. But acceptance. It is the way it is. This is life. This is my existence. This is the vehicle I have been given. This is the situation. And at every moment, accept it. Because ultimately, most of what's in life cannot be changed. Some of it can. You know, the AA people, we've talked about this before, they want to change Alcoholics Anonymous, people who are dealing with their addiction to alcohol or drugs. They have a prayer, part of which says, let me change that which I can. Let me accept that which I can't. And to know the difference. Now, let's take that incomplete prayer for a second. Change what I can and accept what I can't change. Know the difference. How do you know the difference unless there's some kind of like opposition going on there? Like there's a constant, should I change it? Should I change it? Can I change it? No, no, you have to accept it. This is also attention. This is also part of the problem, that there's this constant tension. Whereas what I'm trying to suggest here is something very, very deep, something very, very subtle. It's the state of acceptance, not a state of active detachment or active renunciation, or even trying to change something simply because it seems as if it should be changed, but rather acceptance. Just acceptance. It's kind of like a state of a state which is like preliminary to samadhi, for example. It's a state of acceptance where you accept things as they are. Now, that's easier done in a state of meditation or trance, because in that state you're just accepting. It's a generic, rather shall we say, a very fundamental state. State of acceptance. That I understand the perfect incompleteness of existence. That's that Om Purnam business. Perfect incomplete. And yet, I understand that when I come out of that meditative state, I will be, moment by moment, confronted with all the other jazz. The cold weather, or the aching back, or the political person, or the lack of money, or the too much rain, or the computer crashes, or who knows what. It happens nonstop. So one can go back into the state of meditation and try to avoid all that, or one can embrace acceptance. This is the way it is. Sometimes we're forced to accept things because we have no choice. But I know people, and I know in myself also, even when there's no choice, and even though you say you accept something, you might not. There may be people, or there may be experiences which you just do not accept, even though you may go into that state and say you do accept, or you're detached from them. It's easier in that case to be somewhat detached. Because detachment means non-engagement, not being affected by, whereas acceptance means you accept them as they are, your enemies. Those who are driving you crazy, you accept them. to simply accept. You accept this world. You just accept it. You don't need a philosophy. Of course, philosophy is good. This is God's creation. And for some reason or other, God's creatures have come together in such a way that they are basically ruining God's creation. That is a philosophical understanding. Or even here in a spiritual group, God's devotees come together and argue and fight with each other in such a way that it's ruining the spiritual atmosphere. But one must accept. If one actually accepts, what does that mean? It means one understands. It is this way. There may be many reasons, and there are many reasons why things are the way they are. When you are in a state of acceptance, your awareness expands. When you're in a other state, your awareness is to a certain extent restricted, because we, all of us, see what we want to see. We see what we want to see, not always what is. In a state of acceptance, our awareness is greatly expanded. In fact, to a large extent expanded, because acceptance and essence are intimately related. Acceptance is one of the basic qualities of spirit. That essence, we are, and all things are. These are fundamental principles of spirituality. Axiomatic truths. What is, is. That is axiomatic. And when we have that feeling of acceptance, our expanded consciousness can understand why this disturbance is there. Why that obstacle has appeared. Why this pain is there. Why this death has occurred. We may say, why has it occurred? Let's say someone who dies too young. We say, why? Well, they had a heart attack. Why? Because they didn't take care of their health, or their heart was just weak from the beginning. Acceptance. They have met the end of their days, their duration of life is over. And they are now elsewhere. I am now minus one friend or minus one family member. I have to accept that and be more concerned of someone else, or some other family member, or a pet, or a plant, or myself only, and no one else. In other words, this acceptance is actually the key to transcendence. Detachment is a tool. But even if you're detached to something, you're not necessarily accepting it. Renunciation may be a tool. Even acting positively and being of service, also a very good tool. But the most important feature in this detachment-related discussion is acceptance. And I don't think that we meditate enough on acceptance. That this is what is. Let's just take, for example, when we receive food. And we meditate on the fact that this has been given to us right here, right now, as a blessing. And we accept it in that way. The act changes. Even pain. If we accept it without fighting, it doesn't have the same effect on us. Just accepting it. Or even if you accept that another person is very disturbed, it allows you to be detached without being rude. A person is disturbed. Energy of disturbance. We are accepting. This is what is. That is including detachment. Detachment doesn't necessarily include acceptance, but acceptance definitely includes that kind of detachment. But now, from the platform of love, of recognition, of acknowledgement, that I accept you, I acknowledge you. I may not be overwhelmed in the pit of your disturbance, but I accept you as you are. I'm not saying that's all you should do. Sometimes you should actively try to change somebody. Sometimes you should actively try to avoid somebody. This is a different issue. This is not a how-to on how to act or how not to act. We are discussing acceptance. Just it is what it is. This is who we are. This is what it is. This is the world. This is the universe. This is life. This is the spirit. Just like if you go into the temple room, you see the deities. If you have a certain kind of expectation or your expected mentality is one that you'll only see some deities there, which I know are not statues, but I don't have any communication with. It will maintain that kind of situation of lack of communication. And what we've been teaching about just accepting the deities, if you remember, the basic fundamental connecting took place by accepting. Accepting. It's also like if you want to do the best for someone else, you have to accept them. Their spiritual energy. Because they will also know that you're relating to them as they actually are, not as the agitated state of pain, for example, or how they are presenting themselves because it's what you're supposed to do, or it's what they think you need to see to be impressed by them. So, you come before the deities and you just accept. When I used to say, you just feel their energy. This is acceptance. There's no mental process involved. There's no questioning. There's no asking of help. There's no doubting. There's no thinking of philosophy. You just accept. And that fundamental principle of acceptance is the key to connection. It's not a tool. It's not a method. It's not a technique. It's the key that makes the connection, the doorway, the opening, the safe opens, the jewels, the value, the most important part of life. You just accept the Supreme. You accept Radha and Krishna, you accept Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, you accept all the deities. You just accept them. Because they are accepting you all the time. This acceptance is the key. It's not a struggle. Oh, well, yeah. It's not a struggle because it's no work. It's just letting it be. Oh my God, just letting things be. Some people cannot. They gotta constantly screw things up, make trouble. But it's acceptance is like a not doing, not acting, just allowing, accepting. And from that point, you can connect. And from that point, you can relate. Not that you have to relate with everybody. Not that it's even possible. But you accept what is possible, what is not possible, what you wish, what is useful, what is not. Because when you accept, everything is ordered for you. Everything falls into place, and you just have to perceive. So, although it's, okay, obvious, because we all know what the word accept means. I get it. Somebody may sit out there and say, especially if they have an expectation that, you know, this is not going to be very useful. So therefore, oh, look what he's talking about, this guy. I hear these kind of comments. What is this guy talking about? He's just talking about acceptance. I mean, you got to be kidding me, right? This is like, this is not like a spiritual point. It's like not very important. The tools are important, or the philosophies are important, or the discipline is important. Yes, maybe all those things are important, sure. And perhaps you can use all these things and end up at the same spot. But when you just accept existence, you also accept the energy of the divine beings flowing through it. And here's where mysticism enters into it. When you accept, and you accept the energy of the divine flowing through anything and everything, then divine occurrences can take place. Divine arrangements can take place. Divine unexpected events, unexpected things can take place. Just unexpected, because this, the divine energy is just flowing. When you accept, energy flows to you. When you fight, energy is beaten off. When you're detached, you're just pushing away too. Also, not always, but sometimes just push. Sometimes you ignore. Ignoring, that's another form of like active pushing it away. Because the one you ignore says, ignoring me. So, acceptance, this is such a deep, deep, deep spiritual thing that the entirety of our connection to God depends on it. It's the building, not even a building block, no. It's the energy of our existence, which is the way, it is the non-stop connection to the Supreme, and to accept it is everything. Isn't the real detachment from the physical dimension developing more attachment or identifying with our spiritual identity? That's a question in the chat. Well, this, what I'm speaking about, this acceptance of the connection to the Radha and Krishna, is the feeling, the living with, the embracing the spiritual identity. I'm not sure if that detachment tool is even required at that point to develop that connection. It's fine to ask the Supreme, you can ask Radha and Krishna for help in relating to this world that you're living in, because it's your life, it's complicated. They care about your life. They care about you. And when you understand their care, and you accept their care, and you accept that sometimes you just have to do certain things which you may not like, or you just have to accept it. Yes, this is part of the connecting process. And rejecting negative judgments and thoughts, yes, that's helpful. Because this negativity is part of attachment. Gratitude. Gratitude's fine. I mean, it's okay. We talked about gratitude with the food, but acceptance includes gratitude. Gratitude may not include acceptance. Not in the same way. These are all subsets of acceptance, which is the major energy that energy which also flows into all the all of the emanation or expressions of our energy. Because if you really connected to somebody, for example, who has really made something for you that is so nice, or what you are grateful, because that's part of the acceptance. You accept, and part of that is the natural flowing of gratitude. If you have to come up with the gratitude, something's wrong. When somebody really is grateful, it just pours out. So I don't even think there's a need to talk about gratitude, because if you have to come up with gratitude, it's not real. It's not that flowing from acceptance. And if somebody does something for you or whatever, and you just accept it and just feel so good about it, your gratitude just flows out like a volcanic eruption. It can't be, it's not fake. It's not, they can't even avoid your gratitude. I'm trying to express this in such a way that you understand how acceptance is so much more than all these other things. And again, I'm taking a risk here. The risk is that I'm talking about something which, it's a word we all think we understand completely. It's a word which could be brushed away as an insignificant point. It could be seen in so many other ways. I'm taking a risk. I'm not talking about something fancy. I'm talking about something very, one word, very basic. That means that detachment from things that irritate us is related to being absorbed in higher vibrations, more developed desires and interests. Yeah, sure, that's correct. Because if you're going to accept on this level, that is being absorbed in higher vibration, the essence, more developed desires and interests, yes, that's the essence, the spirituality, yes. I feel that I could be running a risk when I talk about these very basic things, because it's not like you're not this body. It's not that kind of basic. It's the exact what you are. It's not that like your spirit soul. Your spirit soul, very generic. You are acceptance. Think about that. Think about that. And when you accept, you are acceptance. If you feel it, especially if you stand before the deities and just feel them, you are that acceptance. That's your energy. Because you share your energy with them. You are that acceptance. You're sharing the divine. This is you also. And you are sharing it. So it's your personal part of the divinity. And you are accepting yourself. How incredible. It is what you are. You are acceptance. So it's not just a word. It's your fundamental being. So I really hope, that considering how screwed up the beginning of this was with technical difficulties, that I've actually gotten to the point, and all of you have gotten the point, because that's my whole reason for being here. Okay, here's this question now. Want you to have gratitude even for things that haven't manifested yet. Because when one is disturbed, to start thanking for peace in the heart creates that peace. Okay, yes, that's correct. But that's a technique. You do this thing that you don't feel, and then you can get that feeling. From that point of view, yes, this is acceptance. Like when you sit before the deities or stand before the deities and just accept their energy. You're feeling something that you don't yet feel, and then yes, you feel it. That's the nature of all mystical experience. You bring to you that peace, because you accept that peace. It's the exact same thing, but with slightly different words. I'm really sorry for all you guys over there. It must be what, like, oh, it's only 9 o'clock in Russia. You can survive. So, I will end there. I think we have said what we can say. And the next broadcast will be on the 1st of April. Oh my God. April 1st. You know what that means. You know what that means. Oh my. It's going to be April Fool's Day. Unbelievable. I'm going to give a lecture on April Fool's Day. What sneaky, tricky thing can I do? I know. I can just not do any sneaky, tricky thing, and that'll be my April Fool. So I wish you all well, and because I have removed those things which caused the problem before, and because it's all set up now, I expect that we won't have this problem again. But if we do, oops, we'll have to fix it. Thank you very much. Signing off. Good luck, love, happiness, prosperity, peace, and love. Just to all of you. May you all be happy. May you all be satisfied. May you all find everything, and let it be so. Goodbye.